Hello and welcome to Coming to Be. My name is Bashir Hanif Ali, and our guest today is someone that I have been, I can't even really describe how excited I am to have her here with us. But born and raised in Northeast Pennsylvania, my guest today has over 20 years experience in real estate, in the real estate industry, with an expertise in working with investors as well as repeat clients. She is a highly skilled negotiator and noted achiever in her industry. Her accolades include, just get ready for this, all right? Her accolades include an associate's degree in liberal arts with a concentration in psychology. She's a member of the Pocono Area Short-Term Rental Committee. She is an ALC Keller Williams Associate Leadership Council member. She's been featured in America's Best Real Estate Professionals 2022. Top 100 Individuals Team 2023, Greater PA Region of Keller Williams. 2020 featured Top Agent, recognized as a Top Performer for Keller Williams offices in 2023. Number two team closed volume, number two team closed units, and numerous Top Producer Awards for both Keller Williams and RE/MAX. Please join me in welcoming Jessica Keller. My friend.
Thank you.
I've known you for a long time now, Jess, and I've been, in all honesty, wanting to have you on the show for quite some time for a few reasons. One is I was telling you earlier about how this whole sort of podcast thing kind of started for me. And I've always want people to view the show and learn some things on a granular level about how to be successful in something other than sports, rapping, and things that are glamorized. And the truth of the matter is that there are so many things you can do and really make a, not only a good living, but make good money. You can walk away with the bag, as they say, once you become proficient and good at what it is that you do. And you're one of those people, and I, you know, we'll get into how that came to be and stuff like that. So how that came to be, get it?
Yeah, love it. Thank you.
So what do you think it was about when you hear the accomplishments that I read off, what comes to mind for you?
Well, I feel honored for sure to have accomplished so much and grateful, extremely grateful. And I feel proud, you know, I feel proud because I know that there's been a lot that's gone into that and many, many years of, persistence and staying consistent and just following up, you know, with my sphere.
Mm. And what is it about real estate that kind of, how'd you get started in the first place?
So I was going to Northampton Community College and transferred over to East Stroudsburg University. And while I was at East Stroudsburg University, I decided to do what many consider doing when they first enter real estate, which is I had this mindset of selling real estate on the weekends and,
right.
You know, as a side hustle. But I was working with a new home construction builder, and that was super limited, and I liked it, but if I couldn't find the style that we offered, it was just, you know, I really couldn't help the people, you know.
Okay.
What I mean, if it became that they weren't interested in what we had to offer as an individual home builder, then, you know, there wasn't really a whole lot I could do for them. And with real estate itself, you know, and getting licensed, that's something that I'm able to really help them in all aspects of real estate, you know, whether
sure.
it be multifamilies,
sure.
land, residential.
And was your typical client at that time anyway, sort of like your husband, wife, 2.5 kids looking to buy their first home sort of thing?
So my typical clients, and they still tend to be my typical clients, are, you know, those coming from New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia that are, you know, looking for a better life for their families.
Okay. Okay, and that's your typical, okay. Because I was thinking from reading your bio and stuff that your typical client now was more of the investor.
It has grown to be at this point. I mostly work with listings and sellers at this time, and then I have investors that I also work with from a buyer's perspective. But I did also then start working with a lot of investors once I became licensed. And after the market crashed, there wasn't as many owner occupants coming to the area. So there was just a lot of investors that I would work with at that time. And I think that's really what helped to, build my business and, my repeat clients. Some of the investors I've actually still work with, I've been working with for about 10 years.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Which is really neat. We know, I mean, the one investor I have, I know all of the children's names. I know how old they are. I know what they do. I have their phone numbers. They call Jess the realtor if they have questions.
Wow.
So
wow.
That's really
cool. It must give you a real sense of accomplishment.
I love it. I love it because now, their kids are starting to invest also. So they reach out to me about their investments, and I feel just really proud of them too because they're young. So that's really
sure.
neat.
Sure. And speaking of young, and one of the motivations I had for wanting to have you on the show is that I have to tell you, I've met a lot of high school seniors, college freshmen, that say like they're under the impression of, I know how I'm gonna make a ton of money. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be a real estate agent.
Yeah.
and I can just tell that they're under the perception of, I show the house, they buy the house,
right?
And I make this 6 or 8% commission, and mm-hmm. I do that a couple of times a month, and I just walk away with the bag. I'm loaded with money and stuff.
Yes.
And I happen to know from my own personal experience of buying that's not the case. Now, I worked with a realtor years ago. Shout out to Vonda Morgan. That was my girl.
Mm-hmm.
She did two things. She obviously worked hard, right? But she also, honest to God, made my wife and I feel like we were her only clients.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, whenever I called, she either answered or got back to me within an hour or two, sort of thing. At the time, we were coming from out of state, and she would have our weekends lined up for us.
Mm-hmm.
We pulled up to places where she said, wait in the car, let me go in first and check this out. I was just like, yo, this chick, she is working.
Mm-hmm.
She did. And listen, she showed us several properties before we made a decision. We came up here every weekend for quite a few weekends before
oh, yeah.
we actually saw the property. And once we were in and settled and everything, she stopped by and visited us and everything. Mm-hmm. I really thought like, all right, well, that's the end of that. And
mm-hmm.
I ended up referring her to a few people and everything. And so that's when I kind of got to see a firsthand view, because I was under the impression also, like, you show the house, they buy the house, and you
sure.
get a commission, and that's the end of it.
I was as well,
when I
was going to college, I thought, well, geez, I mean, this seems like something I could just do on the side. It seemed, to be the way to go in an area where we really don't have any industry. Most people in our area tend to be people that were self-starters, business owners. So this seemed like a way to do that on my own. I mean, I'm essentially going to be an independent contractor with a real estate license.
Right. And that was actually one of the questions I wanted to sort of probe into a little bit, because I'm under the impression anyway that it is very similar, if not the same, as starting your own business.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know from starting a couple of businesses myself that the beginning can be so lean. It can be. I mean, let's face it, you don't start on Monday and by Friday you're at a closing.
Right.
So I assume not only, and I'm talking about beyond the licensing and, mm-hmm. and training and stuff like that, there's just a lot of hard work and time
mm-hmm.
that may, you're not getting, a salary.
Right.
But you got to eat,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I've been faced with the same, dilemma. Like, mm-hmm. I know what I'm working on is good. I feel very confident that it's going to pay off, even though people around me may be, not that they're so much doubtful, but they're just, most people need the security of consistency.
Right.
And so do I. Mm-hmm. I'm just willing to take some risk to get a greater reward. Mm-hmm. And I know that the greater reward isn't going to be by me working for you.
Right.
I know that the greater reward is going to be by me sacrificing, being patient, mm-hmm. Having a few peanut butter sandwiches and stuff like that, and just holding on until this great idea I have comes to fruition. Mm-hmm. You know, very similar, to be honest with you, with this podcast. You know, podcasting today is kind of like, I remember several years ago, and this was several, you know, I'm a hip hop baby, mm-hmm. right? So I was born during the birth of hip hop, right? I was in my adolescent years. And I can remember when everybody wanted to be a DJ. And we would take the turn, I would borrow like my uncle's turntables, mm-hmm. and my mom's speakers, and you know, and my friend's receiver, and we just do the best, when we take the stuff out into the park and we'd have block parties. Mm-hmm. And I had this big dream of like, one day I'm gonna be this big DJ and stuff like that. But so was everybody.
Sure.
That's what all of us were doing at the time. And to be honest with you, podcasting is kind of something like that right now. Like if you could put together a few $1,000, like you could have a video on YouTube, mm-hmm. even if you're saying the most outlandish, ignorant, befuddled type information, what they call content. I struggle to consider it content myself, mm-hmm. but so it's I understand what it is to start up sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And if you can, because what I really want my viewers to understand is that you can take baby steps and learn and become, for example, your academic background is an associate's degree. Mm-hmm. Now, academically speaking, you know, a lot of people would say, well, that's really the introduction to education. And the general perception is that people with a master's or a doctorate, or mm-hmm. those are the people that are highly accomplished. But you're highly accomplished.
On paper, yeah. For sure. I think that, you know, that's something that many seek. I think that I've proved on paper some things differently, you mm-hmm. know. And, mm-hmm. And then, you know, from a financial perspective, I find those to be very limiting opportunities. And, right. You know, I don't find what I do to be something that's limited like those occupations are.
But in all honesty, not to blow smoke, but you've got to be smart mm-hmm. to do what you do. And maybe your wall isn't decorated with different degrees and lambskins and stuff like mm-hmm. that, but you gotta be pretty bright and a very good read of people to be the accomplished negotiator.
Absolutely.
That you are. So if you can, just kind of, maybe just tell the audience a little bit about, A, some of the skills that you think are required to become accomplished like that. And how do you survive the lean period in the very beginning, particularly when you're getting this thing going?
The which period?
The lean period.
So, I think that in the beginning, I did have a, you know, kind of a perception that if I did this on the weekends, I would, you know, like you were saying, just be able to make a little bit of extra money on the side while I went to school. And I saw that, you know, where I live, this is what people do, you know, essentially, this is what they do to actually make money. And the people that I'm encountering are, they're actually making a lot more money than those that I've encountered in college or mm-hmm. any, mm-hmm. I mean, any field that I was, you know, I was going to be a psych major and I knew that I could actually make more money. That's not why I decided to pursue real estate. My reason, which is funny today, at that time was, you know, I thought, gosh, this, you know, psychology, I'm really going to bring this home with me a lot. And I don't want to just be living in this psychology 24/7. And it's funny to me because I had no idea that, you know, with real estate, you're really living in it 24/7, especially in the beginning. I mean, it's very rewarding, but it's also very challenging, you know. For years I took every call, you know. I wanted to be the first to answer the calls. I mean, today, you know, I'm like, does anybody want, you know, to take this lead? And it's baffling to me that I struggle to find people that are willing to take the lead when those are the people that are needing a sale, you know. And for me, I was like, I want to take all the leads. Yes, I want to take the lead. Are you kidding me? Yes, you know, sure. I'll take the lead. Sure. So I was always willing to take the lead. And when I would get with people, and you know, I worked only with buyers in the beginning, and you know, when I would you know, be in their presence, I felt probably most at myself. I just felt really at ease, you know, representing them. And I felt so filled by it, you know. And I felt I feel this protection for my clients, maybe like this mama bear syndrome, where it's like, you know, I'm going to take care of them. You know what I mean? I'm going to do what I can to, you know, get them the best deal possible, and, you know, make sure they're covered to the best of my ability. And I really loved that. And I think that they saw that.
Sure, I bet they do.
They do. And it, you know, the house shows itself. I mean, I don't need to walk into a house and say, oh, this is the kitchen and this is, I mean, right, no right. kidding, you know? So, right. I made it, you know, my job to look for, you know, the deficiencies that the house might have, you know what I mean? To, not only to, prepare them, but also because it also helped to gain their trust, you know. Like, I don't want to sell you this house if you don't know what's wrong with it. Not that this might make you not want to buy it, but sure. I want you to see what you're actually purchasing here. So that certainly helped me to gain referrals very quickly, and build relationships. But also, I worked nonstop, you know, and 7 days a week. I mean, I didn't really take vacations, and the weekends were not an option for work. I mean, that's just, of course I'm working on the weekends. You know, I have, you know, this amount of buyers lined up, this amount of houses lined up, and
sure.
holidays.
I would think a lot of showings are on the weekend.
The majority, you know. And over the years, I've learned some objections, you know, to that buyer conversation. And, you know, because many buyers will always say, well, I can only come up on the weekends. And I've learned to, you know, switch that a bit over the years.
Right.
You
to,
know.
To carve out some personal time for yourself.
Well.
Because I've been around you.
Yes, I know.
I've been around you. And I've seen you in the midst of conversations and just go like, hold on 1 minute.
Yes.
And take that call.
Yes.
I've seen you do it.
Oh, it's...
And I've also heard you share about, I'm committed to not answering my phone for the next couple of hours.
Right.
I've seen that progress
yes.
or process.
I
with you.
Have had huge progress with that, you know, and I have 2 phones now, and after 7 p.m. I put my work phone down, and I usually don't pick my work phone up until about 8 a.m. However, that doesn't mean I don't work during those hours, but my clients know that I'm not texting during those hours. You can send me an email. I'll do my best to get to the email prior to 8 a.m. You know what I mean? But I'm not going to be on calls or, you know, texting you back and forth during those hours, unless we have an offer or multiple offers, and it's negotiations, I mean, are, you know, due by 9 p.m. And I mean, it's not a negotiation that I set, you know, absolutely. And I spent many hours, I mean, holidays and, you know, just, oh, absolutely. It's super demanding. It's incredibly demanding.
Right.
And that's why we now have, we have wellness, you know, personal wellness coaching. And I have a, you know, a personal coach that I've been working with for a few years now, Kimberly, and we meet every week via Zoom. And not only is she, you know, my real estate coach, but she's a life coach also. Really? For me. Mm-hmm, absolutely. She's, you know, it's more about building, you know, the business for, you know, the long term and kind of an end game as well, you know. So she's helping me to prepare for that exit strategy too, you know.
Right. Well, I can tell you, I mean, you don't look as if you're anywhere close to the exit. You look like more like you're just getting started, sort of thing, just in all fairness to you. But even if, because I know I have said things similar to that about myself and my own personal goals and things, but then I'll meet that person that I think, oh my God, this is the one. Mm-hmm. And when they call after 9, I answer the phone. You know, if I was to get a call, let's just say tonight, from a well-known producer, and say, I seen an episode of Coming to Be and da da da, I'm going to give you a call about 10 o'clock tonight so we can talk about it. I don't know. I think I would take that call.
Sure. I mean, I was in Puerto Rico 2 months ago and, you know, I had an 8 o'clock Zoom call with 4 investors and it was, I think it was like, was it 9? Yeah, it was actually 9 o'clock there. And so, you know, the hours were a little off and I'm running long days, of course. I mean, I travel hard and I work hard. So my travel is super hard. It's not, you know, I don't lay on the beach all day. So right, I'm getting things, I'm seeing everything, you know, and,
Because you're an outdoors woman at heart.
I am.
I read that in your bio about the hiking and I've actually run into you a couple of times where you were coming back from hiking and you had that look of perspiration and climbing and stuff like that.
No, I love that. And I think that also with, you know, travel and, you know, what I do in real estate, the fact that so many of my clients come from all over the world, I love that because I mean, people, you know, bring me their Polish desserts and, you know, I mean, just I get to learn about their cultures and, you know, I've just always had just interest in, you know, experiencing different cultures, you know, so it's like they bring it to me when I'm with them, you know what I mean, here. So it's really, really, that part's really cool. I love that.
I bet. I feel like as a result of meeting more people and different people and different, it makes me bigger. It makes me more articulate. It makes me a bigger thinker. It makes, because I wouldn't have never known that such and such even existed if not for meeting these people.
Right.
And so then I begin to have those experiences on top of my own culture and things, and it makes me, and in fact, to have full disclosure with you and my audience, one of the reasons why I want, one of the, it was, I would say it's a little lower on the list, but one of the reasons why I wanted to have you in front of the camera, because I wanted to listen, there are people from, you and I are not from the same place. If you haven't figured that out yet, right? But our similarities so far outweigh our differences. And I just think that whether it be real estate or podcasting or a commercial cleaning business or whatever the case might be, the more versed I am in all different types of things, because comfortability shows. Like nicety isn't the same as comfortability.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm gonna say please and thank you. I don't care where you're from or what you look like. Like my, you know, my mother and father taught me that. Say please and thank you and that type of stuff. But I'm saying please and thank you, but I'm kind of nervous. People can pick that up. And when you're comfortable, or I guess the more modern term is your authentic self. When you're your authentic self with different type of folk, people can tell, like, yo, she all right. You know what I mean? And because that's important too, that I want my audience to understand that, like, people are people, and nuts are nuts, and good people are good people, and you're good people, Jessen. And I just wanted to show people, like I said, on a granular level, that success doesn't have to come the way the media portrays success to look, or the way our school teachers portray necessarily success to look. There's such a plethora of other things that people can do. I mean, I can't tell you how many people I know that do things that I never even knew that industry existed. And they are like majorly successful in it, sort of thing. And so the more of that I can let on to my viewing audience, the better. The more close I will come to the goal of the podcast that I wanted. In my limited experience of going to look at homes when Vonda was working with my wife and I, we probably came into maybe two situations that was kind of like, this is weird. One of them being that we went into a home that had been, it was a foreclosure, it had been empty for a while. And I think animals know when a house is empty. I really do. I think animals just know, like, there's no one living there. We can kind of go in there and build shop right now. And we walked into one, and there was like a deer carcass. Like, it was so rancid.
Oh yeah.
I can't even begin to. It was like kind of thing.
Right.
But and you've had multiple of years of doing this now. You've had to have run into a couple of situations.
Oh, it's interesting because I get to do some coaching now with newer agents, and I love that. You know, when somebody's excited to learn and are receptive to what you have to offer, it's really enjoyable. And, you know, it's funny because I feel, which I could be wrong, but I feel as though many get the perception that, you know, it's this glamorous life that I live. And I mean, just last week we went into a house and, you know, we're just moving things around and afraid to touch these things and just carrying, you know, carrying stuff behind the sheds and just, you know, pulling plastic off the stairs to try to create a better photo because it's needing to be peeled away. And and I said, I mean, real glamorous life I live, isn't it? You know, but I mean, the animal carcasses for sure. I don't even know how the feces has exploded like this throughout the whole house, but it's everywhere you turn. And
animal feces.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I think that's all it was.
Right.
And it was everywhere caked in this foreclosure, and foreclosures are now, you know, a couple hundred grand. And wow, I mean, that sort of thing, squatters,
right.
Just so many different circumstances where you're just blown away, you know, and then trying to get into houses, lockbox is not working in the winter. What do you do about that? Well, I have de-icer in my car, and you know, I if you can't get, you know, the padlock, I have bolt cutters in this car, and you know, I have screwdrivers trying to get the key in, and you know, with pliers, and just you know, all sorts of creative tactics. Right.
And your client's waiting in the car for you to deal with.
Oh yeah, you know, I'll be right there. You know what I mean? There's no heels, you know what I mean, in the winter in the Poconos with, you know, 2 feet of snow up to the front door that you have to, you know, climb over. I mean, I have a shovel, but it's iced. So you're climbing up over into the house, hanging on, trying to get in with the lockbox, freezing in the house because the heat's off, you know, it's a winterized home, and you're not supposed to use the water, but people do. And I've walked into houses with water dripping from ceilings, from pipes exploding, the day of closing, opening doors, and you go, you know, into the house and there's water running down from, you know, it's a bi-level, so you go up the stairs and the water's running at you. I mean, just, A lot of interesting situations.
And the potential to go through all of that and walk in and this probably sounds a little sexist, but and the wife goes like, I don't like it.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Just walk right back out.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, and then again, you get more skilled at saying, I mean, what do you think about this location? What do you think about the exterior of the home? If it's a no, don't be afraid to tell me it's a no whenever you feel it's a no. Don't humor me, you know, by going through the house.
Don't be afraid to hurt your feelings.
Absolutely, absolutely. Just be honest. I mean, I'd rather, you know, I don't want you to feel like you have to humor me and we schedule this appointment and now we need to walk through the house. Even if the owner's here and you know it's a no, I'd rather just knock on the door and say, hey, you know, thanks so much for, you know, allowing us the opportunity, but, you know, we aren't fond of the location, so this isn't going to work for them. I wish you all the best. I mean, it sounds harsh, but, you know, there's sometimes 5 to 10 houses people want to see in one day, and you get better at that, too. And I seemed to, near the end, I wasn't showing 20 houses anymore. You know what I mean? I was able to get more skilled at narrowing down rather than just running to every house that the buyer thought that they wanted to see without reviewing the listing and all of the details of the listing. So
is it still, does it still function from a, like, this is a mandatory list of requirements and this is the wish list? And you try to kind of put those together as best you can, sort of thing?
You do. I think acknowledging what's a deal breaker. Is it absolutely a deal breaker? What are the concessions you're willing to make? You know, I'm willing to accept this. I mean, if you absolutely insist on a garage, why are we looking at a house with no garage? If you absolutely insist on it, well, I just want to see it. Are you going to buy it? Are you willing to consider purchasing this home? If it's a no, then no.
Why are we looking?
No, you know, I mean, it doesn't, what it'll do is it'll cloud your brain with, you know, information that you don't need it to receive, right? Because then you're going to say, oh gosh, I don't remember which kitchen, you know, layout was with which house and which living room. Mm-hmm. We don't need all that negative, you know, information and floating around in there, all those, you know, pictures floating around in there. Let's just, you know, keep what we're interested in and go with that.
Sure. Let's touch on a little bit briefly about, because I like every episode to have at least a little bit to do with our spiritual growth and development, because we're human beings and we all have spirits, whether we acknowledge them or not. This is nothing to do with religion or anything like that.
Sure.
Just because it's really our spirit that gets us through the tough times. Like, you know, when the going gets tough, the tough gets going. Well, when the going gets tough, the spirit gets going. Because what's going to make you hang in there when everyone else or the average person would be like, you know what, I thought this was for me, but it's too cold out here to be showing houses. Like, I didn't realize the reality of this.
Sure.
Or I've been doing this for 3 months now and I haven't come close to selling a house. Like, I gotta eat.
Right.
The type of things that would make the average person at least reconsider. Do I even want to keep doing this?
Sure.
You found a way.
Absolutely.
To keep going. And what is it that you tap into that causes you? And even now, I'm sure you run into things, maybe that doesn't make you want to quit your career, but makes you want to perhaps quit that client. Like, you know what?
Sure.
I'm done with them.
Right. Absolutely. And I'm grateful for that ability today, actually, because in the beginning, I didn't know that that was an option, that I could choose whether I wanted to work with someone or not. And today, if I feel the toxic energy coming, then I actually am able to make that decision to not focus on that person and to wish them the best, but tell them that we might not be the best fit for each other. And
maybe refer them to someone else even?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. At times, though, because sometimes there's just toxic, so I may not be willing to refer them to someone else.
And can it be you? Like, can you catch yourself like, this is a bad, like, I probably shouldn't be in front. I need to get my head together before I get in front of a client today.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Definitely. I think headspace can be a huge component of what the outcome is with, you know, any particular client. And deciding not to work with somebody is not something that I have done often, but there are times where I've made that decision based on more than one offense, let's say, you know? So I find the people that I work with, the people that are my clients, I think that the universe pairs us together appropriately, and we have like a relationship that is a teamwork. You know, we have the common goal and we work together, and I feel very grateful, you know, for them, and they seem to feel very grateful for me too.
Yeah. I'm listening to you, and I'm catching some words. I'm catching grateful, I'm catching the universe, mm-hmm. I'm catching different words that you're using that I know that are not casual. And I know you to the extent of you're not the when I want to say average person. Mm-hmm. And I know that there are things that you tap into. You had mentioned something earlier about meditation, mm-hmm. and carving out personal time for yourself and stuff like that.
Right.
And the value, like the essential value that has in your life and in your career.
Right.
Now, and if not being too invasive, so what are some of, like, when you take it down, mm-hmm. What does that kind of look like for Jessica Keller?
Yes. So as I said, I after 7, I will literally take my phone. That's my work phone, and put it in my office. That way I'm not
tempted.
Exactly. I'm not tempted to check the emails. My other, personal phone doesn't have email set up to.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It does, but different emails, not work emails,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
So that way I am not forced to look at that email, because I'm going to be forced to, I feel like, just by having it in my hands. And I just try to have quiet time. I like
quiet. Do you still work out regularly?
I do. I have a trainer 3 days a week, and a personal trainer that I work with, and I try to do walks, 2 days a week, 3 days a week, hikes. If I can get outdoors, that's the
goal
for me. I love it. I love to be in the woods.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I love to be in the woods. I love to be by water in the woods, streams and nature. I feel so peaceful. I think it's where I spent time as a kid as well. If I, felt that I needed to connect with the universe, I would just go into the woods.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I feel very,
I'm from the Bronx. We didn't have much woods.
You were afraid of the woods.
I am. To be honest with you, I'm still a little afraid of dogs. I really am.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's funny because, I hear coyotes now at night where I live, and that I didn't hear as a kid. So, and I love it. I love it. Where I lived as a kid, we didn't have woods either. I moved up here when I was 8. I lived, in Southside Easton, which wasn't a very peaceful environment for sure. But here, I definitely find my peace in nature.
Wow. Wow, great. Well, I'll tell you, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. I'm certainly going to talk with our audiovisual department. he's sitting right over there. Our department is sitting right over there, and I will get your contact information and stuff like that. If you're looking to get, you know, someone's looking to buy a great home or learn more about the area or something like that, they can either shoot you an email between the hours of 8 and 8 or something like that. It's been wonderful having you on the show. I know that you will continue to be even more successful as you continue, because I can also tell that you're in a posture of continuing education, continuing learning about your industry. And I think that's so important. People think that attorneys and doctors are the only ones that are sort of like formally involved in continuing education. But there are many industries where various certifications are continuing, because everything's changing, if not for no other reason, technology. I believe lockboxes can be opened now, some of them through your phone, different apps on the phone.
Right.
When I bought my first, and that wasn't that long ago. Vonda was getting out that car, climbing over, and you know, calling the office. That's number's not working, and, you know, that
Absolutely.
Type of thing. And so I know that constant learning, I want to say, benefits you regardless of the industry you're in, but particularly in the real estate industry. But it's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you so much for having me.
I will put your contact information either at the bottom of the screen or however it's best for us to do that. And I want to wish you continued success, Jessica.
Thank you. Likewise. I appreciate
it. Great. Great to have you.